back live from just after the Oscars, and this is your episode of Tapped with Julie, Gretel, and Joseph.
Hooray for Hollywood!
Oscar edition 2018. Live from Tapped headquarters in New York City, 3,000 miles away from the Dolby Theater, here we are with Tapped's Oscar Recap 2018.
And it's after midnight, so forgive us if we're a little bit punchy, but it was a really long show this year.
It felt longer than it did, because it was.
It started half an hour earlier.
90 years in the making.
90 years in the making. And 90 years in the presentation as well.
Which was also how people graded how old their mother was all night long.
Yeah.
Everyone has a 90-year-old mother.
Or older, or... Almost
was 90.
Almost, exactly.
Eva Marie Saint, 90 years old.
Wow, and she
looked fabulous. By 4 months.
Yeah, she looked great.
It was a mixed show. I think there were some predictable winners, and I think there were some happy, unexpected winners. Yeah,
absolutely.
Speaking of predictable, who made the most predictions that were correct?
Well, there were 24 nominees, 24 categories this year, and I know that somebody got more than 50% right.
And that somebody is what is all of three people.
Well, all of us got more than 50%
right. Yeah.
Some of us got a little closer to the 50% line, to 50-yard line than others.
But you passed.
Right. Is 52% passing?
Well, in this case, we're going to say yes.
Okay, yeah. I appreciate that.
We'll be great on a curve here at Tapped.
Plus, we didn't include the Sci-Tech Awards, so believe
that's where I got robbed. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's where I got robbed in the Sci-Tech Awards.
But our big winner for this evening in this poll, I don't know how you did in the multiple polls that you've been doing, the ballots you filled out with you were playing online.
I am a multi-pool player when it comes to the Oscars.
But you got...
a total of 19 out of 24 correct predictions for Oscar winners this year.
Congratulations! Woo-woo.
Thank you.
You won a free dinner.
I did,
which you already got,
which was fabulous. I believe we were all winners in enjoying the multitude of plates that were served. Because, you know, the Oscars aren't just about the winners, the losers, the dresses. It's also for everybody else who wasn't in the Dolby Theater, how you celebrate. And tonight we celebrated with some great dishes that were themed.
Loser made dinner tonight. The loser gets to make the dinner tonight.
And it was delicious. Homemade snacks.
Homemade snacks.
And we were inspired by the Washington Post. They sent out some great recipes for movie-themed snacks. So we took a little liberty, but we made, Gretel made some delicious pimento cheese deviled eggs inspired by three billboards in the shape of water. Or the shape of three billboards, however you want to do it. We combined two of them. The smokiness of the three billboards.
A southern themed, which would be pimento cheese, given Missouri is in the south. And if you haven't seen The Shape of Water, a key theme are hard-boiled eggs throughout the film.
So we had pimento cheese deviled eggs, which I did not think I would enjoy. Full disclosure, I did not think I would enjoy, and I enjoyed them very much.
Well, what I knew I would enjoy were two dishes which you helped prepare, which were mushroom deliciousness.
A sautéed mushroom appetizer.
On some nice,
Italian bread.
So that was the phantom thread.
Mushroom dish.
I hope there wasn't any.
No, this was all above the
just
board.
Clear, okay.
It's everyone's safe.
Don't worry, as he winks. Yeah.
Spoiler alert. And then some incredible meatballs and sauce over some spaghetti.
Which was for the post. They had a nice big spaghetti meal in that.
They did.
In that film. So thank you to the Washington Post. We enjoyed our dinner.
We had a great dessert.
Yeah, I went old school because it's 90 years of Oscar. I just wanted to celebrate old Hollywood. So I made a Reese's Pieces Rice Krispie treat in honor of E.T., one of my favorite films by one of my favorite directors, Steven Spielberg. So it's really just an excuse to make that because we really love that dessert. But you know what? It works. So we're keeping it.
I know the Post and Spielberg may not have won tonight, but they won in our bellies for sure. That's right.
And so that's our tradition to have lots of fun snacks. And this year we also live tweeted. So I hope you were able to join us because it was almost as if you were here with us and all our fun remarks and comments we shared on Twitter. And we have a few of those to share with you now.
What I definitely learned was that Lin-Manuel Miranda is as popular on Twitter than as he is pretty much everywhere else in the world. Yeah, not exactly.
Yeah, they ran a special teaser and promoted a teaser to go online to look at for Mary Poppins Returns, which looks really good.
So they showed a short clip on the Oscars in between, obviously, on the commercial break. And then you can also go online to view a full teaser.
And that's also starring Emily Blunt as Mary Poppins.
Great cast.
Great cast. And they were also presenters this year. It was a really diverse crowd of presenters. They tried to go old Hollywood to, again, it was the 90 years. And what were some of your favorites of the folks that came out that were surprising?
Well, I loved seeing Eva Marie Saint. I've always loved Eva Marie Saint. She, to me, always kind of, when she was younger, she looked like my mother. So I always felt I had a soft spot in my heart for Eva Marie Saint. Seeing her at age 90 and a few months, as she announced, looking fantastic, getting the standing ovation that she got, especially after she lost her husband recently, I know made her feel great, and that transmitted through the room. Of course, seeing, you know, Jane Fonda at 80, looking amazing. Helen Mirren is, I could go on for hours about Helen Mirren, but really, Rita Moreno... coming out in the dress that she wore when she won the Academy Award for West Side Story. And as somebody tweeted, Rita Moreno walks into a room as if it's Rita Moreno walking into a room. she just kills it every time. And please watch the latest season of One Day at a Time. It's amazing.
Some of her best work.
Some of her best work. And then, of course, having Faye Dunaway and Warren Beatty come back for the big thing, which, you know, certainly they got a lot of flack for the last year about what happened last year with the whole Moonlight / La La Land debacle. And I think, A, it was only right that the Academy bring them back and do right by them, but it also put a nice sort of end stone to that whole debacle.
So one thing we noticed right off the bat were the envelopes.
Big font!
On the front and the back, they had the category so that you could not miss what this envelope was for.
Which only made me wonder, what were the envelopes like for the previous 89
there
years?
There was some hard studies done as to how bad the font type text was done on these envelopes. I mean, they were scribbly. I don't even know if they had the category on them, because there's really a stack that you would want in order, and then there's two envelopes for each on each side, and they would just go through the stack.
But that's just asking for trouble, and they got it. Now, they were lucky that they went 89 years without, or 88 years without making a mistake, but that's just common sense, people.
You'd think, but...
Or even have, like, the best picture in a gold envelope rather than the black ones that the, you know...
But all Oscars are, the same.
They're
worth the same.
Yeah. But yeah, impressive envelope making,
revising. So shout out to the designer of the text on the winner envelopes this year.
Yeah.
Before we get down to our list, let's just Jimmy Kimmel a review.
He did fine. It's a thankless job. It's a really tough spot being the host for the Oscars. The pressure is always beyond what I think the pressure for the other award shows is. And it's not a good show. Let's be honest. It's never a good show. You're setting yourself up to... You're never going to win. You're only going to have varying degrees of not failing. Because the show's, 5 hours long, 6 hours long. Are we in the same day that it started? I don't know. And that happens every year. And there's always a ridiculous dance routine and a million montages and some shtick, which luckily this year was sort of toned down a bit. Mm. But, like, it's a very difficult thing walking into being the host of the Oscars. And yeah, he did a fine job. He does a fine job on his show, so there's no reason why he wouldn't do a fine job here. But it's a tough spot to be in.
But he did say something memorable, which stuck with every person who won an award, which was that they decided one gag, which he did in the opening monologue, which was that whoever made the shortest speech would win a jet ski, and they reveal a jet ski with Helen Mirren.
Right.
Like, a la Price is Right.
There's even a Price and the same music, all of it.
Yeah.
Which was delightful, and it made people think about that, and that was something that he presented, and I think that if you're gonna, have something last that feels like that way, that's beyond I don't like Matt Damon.
He had to slip that in.
Especially this year.
Yeah. Matt's had a rocky road this year.
Yes.
But I do love at the end, though, when they do wheel out the winner of the jet ski. It was one of the winners for a costume.
Mark Bridges, the costume designer of Phantom Thread, who came in at 39 seconds.
And he
played it up with the life jacket and doing like the queen wave with Helen Mirren.
With the queen. Helen Mirren. And his Oscar in hand.
And his Oscar in hand.
So I do think that worked really
well. That worked. I'm not quite sure the hot dog shooters in the theater worked, but
literally, I don't think they worked correctly. But there was one bit where they had an audience across the street seeing a preview of A Wrinkle in Time, and the audience seemed really wrapped in that, so that was a good sign. And so they brought a gaggle of celebrities over to hand out snacks, and they armed Ansel and Armie Hammer with hot dog guns. guns, which I don't really think worked very well, but the crowd seemed genuinely enthused. I mean, if Mark Hamill walked in and Gal Gadot, I would get on my feet.
Yeah, that's kind of a big deal.
Wonder and then you Woman give me and Junior
Luke Skywalker. I mean, yeah, that was cool.
So, I mean, I think it was better than having like the bus tour group, which he did in a previous year, come over. So anyways, those were some of the bits that they did. It was entertaining, but honestly, I just don't know why they had to drag it out for so long. There were an awful lot of montages. I do realize they're trying to honor 90 years of Hollywood history, but
but it shouldn't have to feel like 90 years of... I mean, they went an hour and had given out 4 awards.
Yeah.
And as he pointed out, in 1928, the first awards show... It took 15 minutes.
Right.
Because they just read out the things. They handed off the, it was a dinner. And at the end of the dinner, they handed out the thing. It took 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I do appreciate there was a lot of acknowledgement for moviegoers, which I don't think they've really, really hit that home before, that none of their jobs would exist without us and our hard-earned cash going to the movies.
No, and in fact, as far back as I can remember, the only time I've ever heard somebody thank audiences for coming to see their movies was they gave a Lifetime Achievement Award to the producer Dino De Laurentiis. And I think he was the only... He made, "I want to thank the moviegoers." And up until then, and since then, I have not heard boo about thanking the audience.
But that leads us to some winners, because one that really touched me, and I'm going to start willy-nilly, but it was Jordan Peele winning for Get Out Best Original Screenplay.
Pretty great.
Pretty great. Standing ovation.
Yeah.
I think it was sort of unexpected. This could have been anyone's game.
I didn't have him for Get Out.
I actually did. Because in my heart, I really wanted him to win. He just won the Independent Spirit Award the night before.
Right.
And he truly thanked the moviegoers.
Yeah.
Because he thanked, you know, thank you for going. Thank you for telling someone else to go. And I was so impressed. And as a writer myself, to hear him say, you know, I stepped away from this 20 times. And never thought it was going to work, but I just kept coming back to it. And, you know, moments like that, I think, are very inspiring to anyone.
And he was visibly, like, very touched by this, like, walking away and walking into it. And obviously, too, I was, as I've said in podcasts before, I'm Team Get Out. So it's exciting to see the cast and crew also really excited by this. And obviously, too, as you said, with the standing ovation, there was a very clear message from those in Hollywood that they also supported him.
Yeah. I just didn't think it was going to... I thought it was going to go to Lady Bird, but I was very thrilled to see that it went to Get Out.
That was exciting.
Yeah.
So, since we're on screenplay, let's go to adapted screenplay.
Call Me By Your Name, James Ivory, the 83-year-old legend of Merchant Ivory Productions, the Ivory half. Ishmael Merchant was his partner in movies and in life, who passed away several years ago. And he has been nominated for an Oscar for directing, I think twice, for Room with a View and Remains of the Day. Never won, and here he is at 83 or 84 years of age, finally, after 60 years in the business, getting his due with this very, even though it's an adapted screenplay, it's a very personal story, I'm sure, playing at, for those New Yorkers out there, playing at the Paris Theater, which for years was the home of all Merchant Ivory Productions. That was their place. He gave a very great speech, and he paid tribute to Ishmael Merchant and to Ruth Prower, who was the screenwriter of those classic Merchant Ivory films, both of whom are passed away. And so when he said, when you give this award to me, you're honoring them, I thought that was a very beautiful, very, very beautiful tribute.
Another winner who's waited a very long time was cinematography.
Roger Deakins.
Yeah.
For Blade Runner 2049.
I mean, Roger Deakins was the Susan Lucci of cinematographers. This man has been nominated for, I think, 18 or 19 Academy Awards, has never won until tonight.
And Greta was the only one to pick him.
I picked Shape of Water. I didn't pick Roger Deakins because it's Roger Deakins. Of course he's not going to win.
And I picked Mudbound because I thought, how cool would the first female to win. But you nailed it, Gretel.
I had a feeling. There's a very clear aesthetic to Blade Runner 2049. And that's just off the aesthetic of Harrison Ford and Ryan Gosling. But it's a very... you know, and I think obviously there are some times where you're like, Oscars, Academy voters are like, this is your time moment. And clearly this was it for Roger.
So that was really cool to see. Another first is actor in a supporting role, Sam Rockwell. It was kind of clear. He was the front runner. He'd been winning all sorts of awards all season.
Yeah.
But this is another person who's been slogging it through Hollywood for the past 25
Easily,
years.
Easily, yeah.
And he won for three billboards outside of Ebbing, Missouri.
Yeah.
My favorite upset, though, I'm going to have to say, was Best Original Song, which went to Remember Me from Coco. And which I'm going to publicly pressure Joseph to finally see a Pixar film.
So I don't see Pixar films because I have seen Pixar films, and I only have so much in the well. The well is not that deep that I can afford to lose it at a Pixar movie like I have at every single Pixar movie ever made.
Toy Story.
Toy Story 2. I'm not even going to go see Toy Story 3.
Toy Story 3, I really lost it for sure.
Yeah, everybody loses it at Toy Story. No.
And Up, don't see.
No, I saw... Oh, yeah.
I think they're worth seeing, but I have to say, like, remember me...
couldn't take it anymore.
By... the Lopez's, who also won for Let It Go with Frozen. This song actually comes back 3 times within the movie in 3 different versions.
Oh my God.
This is adult abuse, these movies.
But I think there was a touching sense of love for one another, love for family. And you will see when you watch it, because it's also a visually stunning film, and if I were to pick one film to be nominated for Best Picture that got left off, it would have been Coco. Hmm.
It did win Best Animated Feature, but it was not nominated for Best Picture. No. But you were really like, you better let the writer talk. So this was very personal for the writer.
One of the writers, whose name I have left off my memory, he himself has Mexican heritage and wrote deeply about his own family and Dia de los Muertos.
I had picked This Is Me to win. Because I thought that it had more visibility. What would be
commercial appeal?
No, just it was in all the trailers for that movie, right. So more people I think heard it than.
I mean, by far it was the most. I mean, to me, the most visible I saw is that all of the winners of ice skaters, figure skaters at the Olympics danced to one big dance show to "This Is Me" at the end of the Olympics in South Korea just a few weeks ago. So it's everywhere. Yeah.
And they lined it up during the Oscar broadcast. It was the last of the songs to be performed. They had, you know, a big choir behind Kiala, who was singing it. She was the one who sang it in the film as well. She did a lovely job, but they really, personally, and we've discussed this before on the podcast, I really felt like it was forced upon us. Like, here is your winner this evening. And, so, yes, it's a very empowering song. I'm really surprised. I voted for Remember Me, and I'm so thrilled that it won. But I really thought it was going to be the This Is Me.
Foreign language film. The film from Chile, A Fantastic Woman, won. And I went to see it last week because it fit in my schedule in my break between shifts at work, and I knew nothing about it going in. I am so glad I saw it. I cannot recommend this movie enough. It is so beautiful. It is so, like, it's still living with me. Like, I'm still thinking about it. I was exposed to Santiago, Chile, which I've never been to before and had never really seen much of. It is a gorgeous city. It is a gorgeous movie. I'm thrilled that it won, and I encourage everyone in the room and out there in podcast land to run out to see it at your local art house cinema.
And, you know, it was really about inclusion this year. Obviously, spoiler alerts, you know, clearly we're telling you all sorts of things about the films that won. That stars a trans woman. Yes. And she was there and also introduced a song. And so, you know, this year they just had a lot of different performers. And they had performers from Mexico, and Native Americans.
Wes Studi came and talked about how he volunteered for Vietnam. I mean,
it was really empowering. And I think which was another message hit home a lot tonight, was representation. It's giving people at home, kids a chance at home, to see someone who looks like them and inspire them. And
instead of shying away with it, the Academy decided to actually make one of their montages completely dedicated to that, you know, and calling out Me Too, Time's Up, and the need for inclusion across the board.
Yeah, I mean, how awesome was it to see Ashley Judd and Mira Sorvino, Annabella Sciorra, all on stage and on the red carpet, women whose careers were derailed, they believe, and because of harassment. And God, it was really cool to see them back. And Mira Sorvino, I people forget, these are Harvard grads. Like, these aren't just some ladies who decided to go to Hollywood. They're just really smart, talented women. And they should be really proud for what they're doing and speaking out, because it's going to help so many other people. Yeah.
So, which brings me to a point that I think needs to be addressed. We were in the year of Me Too and Time's Up. And for... The animated short film, Dear Basketball, the winner was Kobe Bryant. And he was there with his wife, whom he thanked tremendously. And you know, I was reminded tonight that Kobe Bryant had beat his wife years ago. And it was an interesting point in the show.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know, because, you know, there were allegations that Gary Oldman, who also won Best Actor, allegedly threw a phone at a spouse at one time.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not a problem that is going to easily be fixed. And I think everyone has to decide for themselves how they want to approach it. As an Oscar voter, you get to decide, do I want to vote for this or not? You know, we watched a really interesting story on CBS Sunday Morning where they talked about, can you separate the art from the artist? And I really recommend you go check that out, because I think that's something people have grappled with for years. You know, Woody Allen, can you separate his work from his actions? And I think that goes now for a lot of people whose behavior has been brought to the forefront. And you know,
and that was highlighted even at the in the opening monologue of the Independent Spirit Awards, where they literally called out everyone from Harvey Weinstein to the fact that the host on Mulaney and whose name's blanking now,
Nick Kroll,
who was like, ugh, now, you know, calling out Woody Allen and everybody, can you separate? But also, you know, also there's lots of writing on, like, whether there's a path to redemption. Is there, to what extent do we forgive, or what pathways do we have towards forgiveness? In addition to what pathways do we have to listening and honoring those who were victims, you know, of abuse to many different levels. And I think that's something Hollywood is still grappling with. And even from the Golden Globes to the Oscars, we've seen one big leap into, we're going to honor this within our own ceremony. And so I think, you know, obviously, those like Kobe Bryant and Gary Oldman and those who have been accused and to some extent have been okay, and I'm putting okay in like air quotes, you know, that doesn't mean that they didn't do something bad potentially in the past. And I think obviously two men have succeeded for many years without, you know, without suffering consequences. So I think there's still a deep conversation to be had about that. And this obviously isn't the end. And I think that was a strong point, which leads me to Frances McDormand winning, who, when she won for Best Actress, put her Oscar down and made all of the other female nominees stand up in the room and say, okay, so I want all the producers and those, you know, with the money and the funding to take a meeting with one of these women. Let us tell our own stories. Or you can come, you know, or you can go come to their office. Yeah, exactly. Whatever works. And I think that's another step forward, because it's one thing to listen and to recognize what may have gone down, but it's another thing to prove equity and to have the opportunities that were stolen given back. Not to given back, but just having a fair chance at what's available for future. And I think that was an important moment, and I couldn't have thought of a better way to kind of wrap all of that momentum up than having Frances and Meryl lead along in that.
And two words which we now are familiar with, inclusion writer. When you're negotiating your contract, put in a writer that says, we will be inclusive. Yeah. And that's in front of the camera and behind the camera.
Yeah.
And I thought that was extremely powerful. And, you know, she was given the award. Casey Affleck decided not to present this year because of allegations. And he just did not want to distract from the dialogue. And so they had Jodie Foster and Jennifer Lawrence hand out the award. And so it was this really powerful moment. And Frances was the right woman at the right time. And I, again, find it just very inspiring that she, you know, it wasn't a very political show, I would say, overall. There were very few, there were more hopeful moments like this.
Right.
And the same with Guillermo del Toro, who won for Best Director, and he won Best Picture, The Shape of Water. And in his speeches, he reminded people he was an immigrant, that he loves this country, but he's from Mexico. And, you know, he says, I'm kicking the door open, so please come in. You know, if you want to do films, come. Don't let the lines in the sand stop you. Let's erase them. And I just thought both he and Frances were just really powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. There were certainly the highlights.
And then the last one we haven't talked about is Allison Janney.
Oh, Allison Janney. What a great role in I, Tonya. Great performance.
As one of the best lines of the night, when she goes up, wins for Best Supporting Actress, and says, yeah, I did this all myself. Which she quickly, said she was joking about. But what I really love to see is a lot of people who had been at this for a very long time have really doing the best work of their lives, and it's getting recognized. And it was just really cool to see that. It was cool to see Jordan and James Ivory and Roger and all these people finally get their due or get recognized where they may have been excluded, easily have been excluded before.
Absolutely. And then, documentary short subject. I mean, Heaven is a traffic jam on the 405. I totally knew that was going to happen. I called that. No, I just circled whatever one. I had no idea. I just, out of luck, I got it right, but.
It's always hard with the shorter films. We're lucky here in New York because we have an opportunity. They do often screen shorts.
At the, IFC Center every year, they play the Oscar nominated shorts. Which we should start going to. I'm serious.
I've gone. It's really informative.
Yeah.
But not to be long, just like the broadcast.
Yes.
But the biggest winner of the night was definitely Shape of Water, taking home many of the awards, including Best Picture.
Production design.
They took home four awards tonight.
Score. this is not for my wife, it's for my children. That was the highlight of Alexander Desplat. Icarus won Best Documentary, which is very timely. That's about the Russian doping scandal, and which we saw a little bit of the of that in the Winter Olympics, but that won Best Documentary. And
Make Up to Darkest Hour.
Yeah, we've spoke about that before. Who's the gentleman that came out of
retirement?
Koshiro. Forgive me. But Gary Oldman coaxed the makeup guy out of retirement, and he won, and he thanked his cats. I think that's my favorite. Yeah. He's like, I thank everyone's family, and I thank my cats for being so supportive, which I don't normally equate.
I think that was a nice nice thing, especially if your cats are right there, and they're part of your working day, and yeah.
But how fun, too. Like, speaking of there, that the team that wrote Remember Me, they had their daughters in the audience, and they were eating snacks. It was a very Blue Ivy moment. Which I loved, and I there were a number of kids in the audience, and I just thought that was really sweet to be able to share that with them. I think Frances had Pedro there with her.
She did, yeah. He was sitting next between her and Joel Cohen.
So yeah, I think it was a long broadcast, but I think for the most part they got it right. The awards,
yeah.
I think for the most part, I mean. People will either love or hate The Shape of Water, but I'm not sure, other than Get Out, what could have possibly won this year.
Well, Lady Bird could have won.
Yeah.
I think those three were the...
I mean, but in that essence, there was... Shape of Water was the front runner, but it really was an up in the air. There's not a hard winner.
No.
Going in, which was... exciting, because not all awards were definitely shoo-ins.
No, it was anybody's game this year. It was a really good slate that we had, so it really could have gone in so many different directions. But
and then the award for Best Presenters goes to Tiffany Haddish and Maya Rudolph. They came out carrying their heels, wearing their UGG slippers.
It was amazing. And they killed their dialogue. Like, they weren't reading some slow teleprompter. They were natural. They were funny. I wish they had hosted the whole thing.
They should.
And we are, what's on tap, we implore the folks at NBC to let them host the Golden Globes next year. That's what's on tap.
I believe that they can handle it. Tiffany is hosting the next MTV Movie Awards, so stay tuned for that. And so I am really excited. I'm going to make my other one more tapped prediction.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Is that Black Panther will be up for some Academy Awards this time next year.
Okay, but will it win? Because I don't want it to go down the Star Wars route.
I cannot answer that because there are many more movies to see this year.
You must tell me now. Yes, Black Panther is a whole other episode. Really exciting. And yeah. All right, so you predict that will be...
They will be nominated for something. I can't tell you what that is yet.
Okay.
All right. Well, very good.
I don't have any other predictions because I haven't seen any other films. Oh, Game Night!
Random. Game Night. Terrific. Smart and funny. Not expecting it. Thought it was going to be stupid. And it was really, really good.
I'm going to say like an editing award. Let's...
Sure.
Sure. It's going to get nominated. That's my prediction. Like, Game Night will get nominated for editing. Much like Baby Driver did.
Sounds
which
good.
Which is kind of random, but...
Okay.
Do you have any other predictions?
I don't.
All right. Thank you so much for listening to this special episode of Tapped. Be sure to check us out on Facebook and Twitter.
Until next time, keep listening.